topic for this evening is entitled Corporate Fellowship. Actually, in our previous sessions, we've talked a good bit about this, really, if you examine the things we've been discussing, but we're kind of just have a little different emphasis here, try to put together the idea of corporate fellowship. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. And I think we could say that this would be our key verse in considering this subject. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You ever notice there are some verses in the Bible, they kind of hit you as if they were just written for our culture, for our particular time, because they just kind of jump out at you and say, how did the Spirit of God perceive that this would be one of our problems? But we can see here that certainly all of us agree the day is approaching. We do live in those times as far as the time setting of this verse goes. I don't think there's really a serious thinking Christian today that isn't aware that day is approaching, that our time is short, that the Lord is coming soon. And then we also see this, forsaking the assembling of ourselves as is the manner of some. And I think that perhaps young people might not be as aware of this as some of us older ones, but there definitely is a trend taking place across the nation for Christians to assemble together less and less. No question about it, from, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago. There's been a tremendous change in that direction. Now, we have a definite exhortation here that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, this exhortation must be for a very specific reason. It must be that there's great value in assembling together with others, that we do need other Christians, that it's a very vital and important part of our spiritual vitality and health, that we really can't get along without each other. You know, sometimes you say we can't get along with each other. The truth of the matter is we can't get along without each other. Our spiritual life just isn't going to develop for a variety of reasons that we're going to see as we examine some portions of Scripture tonight. So the point we want to emphasize in this session tonight is that we need to get across today, as never before, the thought that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in this day and age. But it is happening. And it's one of the vital spiritual problems of today, that Christians don't get together as often as they used to. That in many cases, we don't see each other from one Sunday to the next. We're kind of almost strangers to each other, that possibly in a given week, many of us may not spend time together more than 2 or 3 hours in a whole week. This was not the case in years past. Lots of reasons, perhaps, for this. For one thing, our life has become very busy. And I do think it's one of the areas that we need to cope, we need to deal with very definitely today. I particularly throw this out to the young fellows here in our group. I can see that you've got a problem, a tremendous problem to face if the Lord doesn't come in the next days and months and years. You've got a tremendous time problem. There's no doubt about it. Our culture is squeezing us as far as time is concerned. And it is a very serious problem. And you're going to have to sit down, if you're married with your wife, or when you do have a wife, or whatever the situation might be, you've got to sit down and figure out where your priorities are going to be. You know, there's no doubt about it. We're living in those kind of days where this has to happen. Because there just isn't, there are so many things we're able to do today because of technology and all the things that are at hand, that there's just no way we're going to get them all done. It's not possible. And we've got to decide just what we are going to give priority to. And I trust and pray and hope with all my heart that the assembling together with the Lord's people is going to be one of the top items in that priority list of yours. In other words, I think we need a fresh challenge to say, I must be out to the meetings. I must be out with the Lord's people. I can remember one time an older gentleman, brother in the Lord, saying, you know, he said, when we were young fellows growing up in our house, he said, you never asked the question on a Wednesday night, are we going to meeting tonight? You never thought of asking such a question. So of course we're going to meeting tonight. I mean, this is Wednesday night. What else would you do on a Wednesday but go to meeting? But today, that's a very common question, isn't it? You know, well, are we going to go to meeting tonight? Well, you know, I don't know. See, I've got to get this done tonight. Tomorrow, I'm gonna be out, so I've got to get dessert ready, you know, for the meal tomorrow night. You know, we start to come up with a big long list, and it happens in every household. I mean, it's not, this pressure is there with everybody, and too often, what happens is the assembling of ourselves together, the meetings get just pushed further and further down the list. Because for some reason, you know, we don't seem to sense the necessity. We say, well, you know, I can miss meeting tonight. Who's going to miss me? You know, it's not really going to matter. I won't be missed that much. Let's see, I don't have to open tonight. I'm not the song leader. I don't have any particular duties. And I know John will see it. The door's locked, and I can see. No, I don't. I'm really not needed tonight. It won't make that much difference. We don't see that. The assembling with others, being with others, is an absolute necessity for spiritual growth and development. You're definitely not going to grow in the Lord if you're not assembling with the Lord's people. And I can assure you, through the years, I'm an older man now, and I can look back, and through the years, I could tell that a Christian who wasn't meeting regularly with the Lord's people, I could start to see him go back and back and back and back. I could see the pattern. And it's just, the two of them go together. When we start missing the meetings, we start to begin that, to slip spiritually. I suppose another reason why assembling of ourselves together is being forsaken today is that sometimes we seem to have different objectives in our life. That is, we seem to be more of an activity-oriented culture than we do a people-oriented culture, don't we? In other words, we place more importance on activities, things to do, And of course, assemblies aren't always the most exciting places when it comes to things to do, right? There's not an abundance of activity in most assembly buildings. There's people, but there's not much in the way of what we would call today, what we would label as activity. And consequently, we find ourselves, as our schedule gets loaded with activities, we find then that people, the importance of being with people and helping others and reaching out to others and sharing with others and being a part of others becomes less and less important in our life. I see this alarming thing taking place among young people in high school age, for example. They are definitely being oriented, taught that to get to the soccer game, to get to the baseball game, to get to this activity, to take part in this, to do this, is far more important than it is to be with people. You know, to just share with other people in fellowship. It's the direction of our culture, and we get swept up in our world culture, and consequently, we begin to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We could go on listing many other things that's probably causing this, but the bottom line is that we've lost the awareness of how important it is to be with God's people as much as we can be, and how it affects us if we're not. Now, I want you to notice two interesting words here in this verse 25. We have the word together. Notice, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then in verse 24, notice we have the word one another. Let us consider one another. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, those are two key words that we find running through the New Testament. One another and together. And there are two words that you can't do without people, without other Christians. The very words themselves are in, you know, that thought is inherent in those words. I have to be with other Christians to be together. I have to be with other Christians to be doing something for one another. Right? And they both words entail Christian fellowship, which is a corporate fellowship. And they are essential. We find we're going to be just tracing for a few minutes now. I'm going to be taking you through a series of verses that contain this thought of being with one another, being together, and what the effect is in our Christian life, and why it's so vital, and why we need it. First of all, would you turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And notice verse 7. If you're taking notes, you can just copy these verses. I'll be giving you a series of them. This is your first verse, 1 John 1, 7. These are all verses that would pertain to corporate fellowship, being together. Notice in 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So our fellowship has a basis, doesn't it? It's the light. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We are sharing, we have something in common. You know, if I belong to a chess club, I better be a chess player, right? I'm going to be totally out of place if I go to the chess club and sit there with a pair of skis, right? This is not going to fit. Chess club is not for skiers. A chess club is for people who play chess. What is it we have in common? We have a fellowship. We've been all cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are a people who gather together out of thankfulness for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We are, in a sense, you could say, a club with a common interest. Right? We all do have that same common basis. You see, that should be there. And if you turn to Philippians, our second verse, I want you to notice. I'm just going to go through these very quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one because I think they speak for themselves. But I want you to have a list of verses that stress the importance of being together. Because we are losing this. We're losing it today. We're becoming individuals. We're becoming scattered. I didn't mention, but maybe the fact we've got automobiles and we can live so far from each other has a lot to do with this problem, doesn't it?
Amen.
It wasn't there in previous cultures and societies. But whatever that cause, it is definitely having a tremendous influence on us. One of the brothers in our assembly was telling the story the other week, you know, of how, and I know you've heard the story. It's an old story, but I enjoyed hearing it again. You know, he was saying how you put coals together into a fire. And when those coals are together, they're burning bright, red, hot. But he said, you take a tongs and pull one of those coals out and sit it over by itself and don't have it with the rest of the coal. And it soon goes out. It just burns itself out. And this is what's happening to us today. There's no question about it. We're not being together, and we're losing it. Now notice the second verse here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Right? 1 John 1:7 was fellowshipping together. Here we have striving together. Now, we've all been struck by the fact of how much from the messages we've heard at this conference, how much isn't being done, how we're not getting so many things done. And it's very convicting, isn't it? And it kind of smites you right between the ribs. Yet here we have a great formula for getting things done, don't we? It's striving together. We shouldn't feel in the Lord's work that we're alone, that we're doing things alone. This becomes very discouraging. It gets you down very quickly. But there needs to be a striving together that's emphasized here. Now let's go our third one. Let's go back to Hebrews 10 again, where we just were. And we want to look at verse 24 again for our third one. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So together we stir each other up, don't we? I mean, that's so true, isn't it? Haven't you experienced it? I've experienced it many times. You come home from work. You're tired. You're kind of discouraged. It's been a rough day. It's one of those days where everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong. So, meeting tonight. Oh, you know, and boy, you just look over at that big chair sitting there, you know, and you say, oh, would it just feel good to sit down there and prop up my feet, you know, and just leave this day behind me. And then you go to meeting. And there's some brothers there, you know, that they've just been, you know, they're on fire for the Lord, and they're excited about what's happened in their life that particular day. And next thing you know, they get sharing with you and they get praying with you. Next thing you know, you're stirred up, aren't you? You feel like a different person. And this is what fellowship does. This is what meeting together does. It stirs us up. That's the third reminder we have here. Now let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. The very fact, you know, that as we'll notice here tonight, that there are so many admonitions regarding being together, working with one another, that it's obviously apparent that the Spirit of God stressed this in almost every book, over and over again in the New Testament. He stresses it because it is so vital. It's so absolutely vital to our Christian life. And here we have Romans 15. And let's notice the admonition here. He says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort," with verse 5 of Romans 15. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And this is a verse that was already referred to. And then we keep going here, and let's go over to verse 14. "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Okay, here's the next thing. Being together, being with the Lord's people, we get admonished. Well, we sure know what that's been like yesterday and today, don't we? We have been admonished. There's no question about it. And praise the Lord, we need it. We need to be admonished. You know, in a family, admonishment is a very, 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 very vital part of a family. All we've got to do is look around today and see where admonishment is being neglected in families, and we see the terrible results of it all around us. And we recognize that we've got a nature, we've got a way about us, that if we're not admonished, we soon start slacking off, don't we? We soon start messing up. We have just got to constantly be admonished. And I thank God. I have some of the brethren from my home assembly here tonight. And I can have the opportunity to say thank you to each one of them for the times they've admonished me. Now, they may not even be aware they did. You know, they didn't come up to me and say, "I'm going to admonish you." No. But just by reminding me of things that I haven't done, things that need to be done, or, you know, things that perhaps are need correction in my life, just in different ways, what a tremendous, tremendous help they have been to me. And how vital this is in Christian fellowship, that we can meet together and admonish one another. And that's why earlier in these verses, in verse 5, it calls God the God of patience and comfort. Because under admonishment, that is, when you're being admonished, you need both of these qualities. You need patience, and you need to be able to be of comfort. We need to be like-minded. That is, under admonishment, we can react in anger, can't we? When people admonish us, we can become angry with them. But no, that's not to be the case. We should look forward to being together with other Christians that God the Spirit, through other Christians, might be able to admonish us. Because it's absolutely vital in our life. We need it. All right, let's look at another reference over in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're just kind of zipping through these just for time's sake so you can get this list. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verses 9 and 10. "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, I know, you know, in our day and age, grumbling is a, that's an old-fashioned word. It's one that, I mean, nobody grumbles anymore. That's something that was done in past years, and we're no longer affected by this. But we're to be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Now notice this, minister it to one another. In other words, we're to be good stewards in the manifold grace of God. God has given us an ability to minister to others, whatever it might be. Sometimes I know younger brothers struggle with this, and they say, "Well, I'm not sure what God has given me. You know, I'm not maybe really gifted to get up in the platform and speak, but I'm not too sure how God intends to use me to minister to others." Well, just get out, be there with the Lord's people, and he'll show you how to be used. But the important thing is you have to be there. And you have to be available. You can't be used if you're not there. You can't be used if you're not available. But if you get out there, the Lord will show you various and many different ways that you can be used. It's been brought out at this conference, and I think it's so absolutely true, that maybe we place a little too much importance on public ministry. It's valuable. It's very, very important. But it seems to me, as I look back through the years, that some of the most vital work I've seen done for God has been on an interrelationship basis, one-to-one, with one another. I've seen the effects of one brother influencing another brother, one brother leading another brother in this direction, one brother encouraging another brother, and many times it's had a much more vital effect than public ministry. Don't be discouraged if you're not gifted, you know, to stand in the platform. That's not really vital in your Christian life. There are 100 other ways that God can use you. And we need to meet together so that we might be able to minister to one another. That's the key point here. All right, then let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And notice verse 13. This is a tremendous verse that absolutely makes corporate fellowship so vital. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Listen, Christian fellowship has a polishing effect, just like they would take stones and put them into that polishing machine, and one stone rubbing against the other stone smooths the stone, doesn't it? Rough stones become smooth stones just by being together, you know, and just by being rubbed together, the rough stone gets smooth. Now, God will use other Christians to smooth you, so to speak. I mean, there'll be many times in Christian fellowship that, you know, that you'll be tried. Your patience will be tried in 100 different ways. But don't avoid that. Don't run away from it. You know, don't say, I can't stand that person, or I can't stand this one. No, you want to run to it. Because God's going to use those persons, the ones who irritate you the most, he's going to use to polish you the best. It's vital in your Christian experience. And we're very, very foolish when we sit at home and feel, you know, sorry for ourselves because we think, you know, we can't get along with the other Christians and so on. We're doing ourselves great damage by doing this, by not getting out and getting that contact and allowing God to train us in our relationship with one another. It's so absolutely vital in our Christian experience. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And this verse is more or less saying the same thing as we had in Colossians. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do I demonstrate the unity of the Spirit? There is unity in the Spirit. I don't make the unity, it's there. There is a common spirit among all Christians through the Holy Spirit. But how do I demonstrate that unity? How do I keep that unity in my own life? By being there and bearing with one another. Not allowing all these things that would irritate me and cause me problems, and get me all worked up. Just going on through them. And they're my brethren, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I keep on. That's the instruction here. Let's go to over to chapter 4 in Ephesians in verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Boy, I want to tell you something. One of the greatest experiences in the Christian life is to be able to hug someone who's done you wrong and tell them you've forgiven. It doesn't happen very much today. You don't see it too much among Christians. But what a tremendous experience it is. I've experienced it and I've seen it from time to time. And it's just one of the most precious things that can happen in the Christian life. Where you can go up and throw your arms around a brother who's greatly offended you. And both of you, with tears running down your cheeks, can say, I forgive you. It's so vital. Instead of living in bitterness for 10, 15, 20 years. What a ridiculous thing. The Spirit of God enables us to forgive one another. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're just winding these up now. I'll just give you three or four more and I'm going to stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We have to be together to do this. We have to be together, right, to care for one another. I can't care for you over the cell phone. I can't. I can't really care for you. I have to be there with you to really care for you. And so we are to care for one another. Go to Galatians. The book of Galatians. Chapter 5. And verse 13, Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. There it is. Serve one another in love. And we said, remember, that's one of the characteristics, service, serving leadership. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Comfort one another, edify, build up one another. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. I know I'm rushing through these, but my time is just about gone. 1 Peter chapter 3, And verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Isn't it amazing, you know, how this just over and over and over and over again, the Scripture's telling us this. We need one another, brethren. We do. We need that encouragement. We need that edification. We need that comfort. We need to be together. Just two more verses, and then I shall stop. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Notice these verses, starting with verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The closing verse, I saved this one for closing, because this is such a vital one, and yet it's one of the toughest ones for us to deal with. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Notice this verse. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, submission is one of the hardest things for you and I to learn. We like to do our own thing, do it our own way, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, you know. We're very independent. We're very much for, you know, just doing our own thing. Getting together with other Christians teaches us the very, very vital, vital part of our Christian life, of what it is to just submit to one another. There are times when I have to learn this. It's so vitally important in my Christian life. So, brethren, the message I leave with you tonight is, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is the direction things are going, but we must fight it tooth and nail. We must absolutely give priority to the meeting together, assembling together with God's people. It is absolutely vital for your Christian life. Our Father, we thank you that you have put us together as a body in Christ. That you have not made us as individuals to go our individual way and do our own thing. But that you've taught us to be workers together, striving together, submitting to one another. We pray, our Father, that we might know the joy, the preciousness, the value of this in the days to come in our Christian life, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.